thanks for hanging out with us. Hour three of Lori and Julia here on MyTalk 107.1. Everything Entertainment. We're streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. You can check us on the MyTalk app. Lori is here. Julia is out. Brittany's in. I'm Holly. And Brittany even comes with her own theme song. So,
Brittany Witch.
Yep. I brought this CD for us.
Wonderful. Did you have to wipe it on your pants to get the scratches out?
Of course, because it was just loosely in my car around, you know, flying around. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for it. You're welcome. Yeah.
Thanks for having me, you guys. I always just, I am learning so much here today. This is the first time I've had actual, I'm enthralled. Lori has made me enthralled with the royal family.
Oh, I mean, it really, because this doesn't happen often, and it's so epically, it's just like, if you, it is just like, I don't know.
Well, you can tell that the British, that the firm, mm-hmm. as Meghan Markle called it in the interview clip, you can tell that they are panicking because of all the crap stories that they've been leaking in the past couple of days, like we said, just before we went to break.
And they're panicking over all the fake, bad, hurtful stories that they knew were deliberately wrong and that were coming. They could have stopped that.
Yeah.
That could have been stopped. Now they're playing their hand.
Yeah.
Showing their hand with being so panicked. They're drawing so much attention instead of never complain, never explain.
Yeah.
They were really unkind, and then they got stubborn about their unkindness and then refused to see it. And then by then, I mean, you know, you no one is going to stand for that.
You know, there's a lot of parallels, I feel like, between a lot of these stories of people's egos getting in the way, like Chris Harrison trying to take, you know, control of a narrative and not being able to handle the story where it gets out of control.
He tells Michael Strahan, I'm working with a race educator.
Yeah, I think
I'm like, okay, well, that's good. But I mean, the fact that you can't even understand, like, sometimes it is just good to admit that you were just an absolute idiot and didn't have be sincere. This, I don't know why people have a problem with being truly, truly sincere, but sometimes people don't really get it. They're like, he might truly be baffled still.
You know, and I think that there's something about, you know, with everyone likes to jump on to say it's cancel culture, but I think that if we could change the narrative.
Accountability culture.
Absolutely. I think that is where we're at. And I think admitting that, like, you can grow and evolve and learn and change, and you've made mistakes in the past. Like, I think that is so.
Isn't that one of the things our parents say to us?
Exactly.
When we have, like, we really do some, we're involved with something not nice. Maybe it's nasty. Maybe it was me. Maybe it's the first time, like, you were involved at sixth grade and you inadvertently got involved in a bullying situation. And, you know, your mom found out from another mom and your mom would talk to you and she'd be like, we don't do that.
Yeah.
We don't make people feel left out. I mean, you just, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe females have. We do get more of that. Maybe that's said to us more.
Maybe
that,
I don't know. But there's something about.
I have
about,
no idea.
We were just talking about also like Alec Baldwin, same kind of idea where it's like your ego really told you that you were going to go and yell at Twitter and everyone was going to go.
In a video for 10 minutes. Alec.
Yeah, thanks, Alec, for explaining that to me. Yeah, I mean, it's just these egos. You know what? That would be, if he heard that, it would be the best ego check for him.
And you know what? The thing is, like, he's one of the. We had one of the funniest, genuine moments with Alec Baldwin on a red carpet.
Yeah.
His manager was like literally tugging him along. Mm-hmm. And we were so begging him because he really, really is a handsome guy in person.
Yeah.
And he was on 30 Rock. That's why he was on the red carpet.
Yes.
And he came up, oh, hey, ladies, hey, what do you got? Who are you with? You know, we're just like, we have the audio of it. And Julian, we're from Minnesota. We didn't have a question. We just want to tell you look hot. We love you. We love your show, 30 Rock. I mean, he was really nice. So he is one of these guys that can be savvy like that on like a red carpet. But I don't know. I think that he should listen to himself, and really and truly, he is a man of seven children now,
I
or
know.
Eight or whatever it is. And he's 62, and he doesn't need to be spending time yelling at social media, at himself, filming himself. It's literally the old man yelling at the clouds. You have all those kids, and I'm worried about your blood pressure, dude.
I am absolutely terrified for you and your choices. Well, thanks for going on that side thing. But it's just interesting how a lot of our stories have that in common. It's wild.
Yeah. By the way, you know, if you did notice Jason Sudeikis with the saddest winner's face of all time at the Golden Globes.
Yes.
On his little Zoom and his little candy-colored hoodie.
His
which
little
I
tie-dye,
guess,
yeah.
I guess it's his sister's dance studio.
Yes.
Whatever that was. But anyway, and, you know, he really did seem like out. And I said he was heartbroken.
Yeah.
Because Olivia's living in... She's come back and has to quarantine for 2 weeks while her boyfriend quarantines at whatever, the St. Regis.
Yeah.
And Jason just has, you know, a couple of weeks to get back together with her. So what comes out today? Heartbroken Jason Sudeikis, not ready for a serious romance with the girl he's been seen with. Here's this. Jason has not moved in with Keely. He remains still heartbroken over Olivia and isn't ready for another serious relationship. Well, if you were Keely, are you breaking up with him or are you just saying, when's our next hotel date?
I would say, hold on. I think he is so cute and he was so good. You know, Apple didn't make a lot
of... Would that make you mad that he name checked you in some PR about and that he's still heartbroken over Olivia?
I mean, I guess what it's all about your expectations going and dating, right? If you're going to date somebody who just broke up with her... I would know that I am not.
No, they've been broken up since last June.
But I mean, like, that's still pretty recent.
She's moved on to Harry Styles very publicly. I personally.
Would you be mad?
I would be mad. For Keely, I would just say that is the last good you're going to get from me. And he'd have to really work to call me back.
I mean, just saying.
He's name checking my name.
Yeah.
And then saying that, very specific in his PR, he's still heartbroken over Olivia. Jeez, when you put it like that.
I mean, he looked like we all did in our last Zoom happy hour that we'd like to have in 2021. That's exactly, he literally embodied how I feel when I am forced to be on a Zoom meeting.
I you know, I feel for Jason having, like, that'd be hard to compete with Harry Styles.
I know.
Although, Jason's got his age and the fact that he's the father of the children going for him. Because he and Olivia are, like, the same age.
He seems funny.
And Harry's 27, so he might not be quite as ready to...
take on the children.
Well, that's big baggage.
They're having fun.
Yeah, I think they are having fun. He, you know, he had the kids the whole time. Jason did.
Yeah, it's a different world.
So when she was filming that movie, Don't Worry, Darling, I mean, they really had an on-set romance. I'm kind of jealous.
I know. Well, I think we all are.
She didn't have her kids. They were quarantined in a movie bubble.
It's a different world. It's like deployments. People act like it's a different world, and it is a different world. You don't have your kids. You don't have normal responsibilities like you normally have, and it's so easy to forget.
So we'll see kind of what happens with these guys.
I think you're the
If I were Jason's friend, I would just, you know, really tell him maybe hold out some hope.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And also, like,
if it doesn't bother him, if he can be okay with sometimes people leave the area, you know.
I think so.
For good reasons. Maybe you'll come back together, you know? Everything doesn't have to be breaking up about that.
I taking a look at Keely Hazel, she definitely doesn't look like somebody's second runner-up. So I think you're right.
I don't think she's happy about this
story
that showed up in Page Six, courtesy of Jason's People.
Exclusively.
And see, he would also like Olivia, you know, that story, you know, that could warm her heart. She doesn't know. I mean, you know, we don't know. Everybody's in an orgasmic haze. except for Jason.
He's in another kind of haze.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very well be. And yeah. As, you know what? Good for him. Yeah. Stay there.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, the other thing I was just going to say is that I was reading, just wanted to get a little bit more information because, of course, obviously, you know, just like 3 weeks ago, I said to Julia, I go, so we're really not going to LA for the SAG Awards. And she goes, why have you not known that? And I said, I kept holding out hope. Aww. And when they moved it to April 4th, I thought, well, maybe there's going to be a way.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, no, there's not. But I really, my magical thinking allowed somehow.
You needed that hope. You needed to carry that hope.
You were trying to manifest it.
I was trying to manifest. But anyway, yeah, someone at the SAGs, you know, they heard the news that the good people at home don't want to watch celebrities on a Zoom meeting, an award show. And they've tightened down. They're going to give 13 of their 15 awards in a one-hour thing. That show has never had a host.
Yeah.
They've experimented a couple different times. They're just going to do the I Am the Actor segment, and the winners will know ahead of time.
Do you think that's better?
No, it's just they're
giving a different go. They're going to try.
They
to take a
realize take. That you know really, and the SAG Award. I mean, I think it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
Is what it was. You know, on TBS and TNT, they don't need to have all that. They've taped everybody ahead of time. They've just gone in a completely.
Yeah, they streamlined it.
They streamlined it. And so who knows what the Oscars are going to do, but it's going to be pre-taped and very short. And I'm sure all the actors will stay mum about their winning until the air date.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting to see if anybody accidentally lets
it go. I know. They accidentally send
posts. They won't like that. All right, listen, when we come back, it's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Holly.
Hey. Let's talk some dirt.
All right, let's do it.
A little this, a little that. Sarah Silverman is issuing an apology to Paris Hilton after mocking Paris Hilton at the MTV Awards back 14 years ago. So this has been kind of bubbling up. You know, I think that the cultural conversation has been reflecting on the 2000s and the way that celebrities were treated during that time, framing Britney Spears.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Paris has a podcast now. I love that she names everything after herself. This is Paris.
Oh, yeah. She's sliving. That is what Paris Hilton likes to say. So the podcast, Paris Hilton's podcast, is called This is Paris. And she was talking earlier this week about how she's still angry with Sarah Silverman calling her jokes disgusting, cruel, and mean. I think that there was a video, an interview that Paris Hilton was doing with somebody, maybe a radio station back in the 2000s, where a fan pointed out that the hosts were treating Paris Hilton with the misogynistic undertones and not allowing her to actually talk about what she wanted to talk about on there. And Paris Hilton was like, basically like, yeah, you know, you're right. This interview wouldn't happen in 2021. So I think kind of going along those lines.
I think it was the David Letterman too.
Yeah. There was just a lot of stuff resurfacing.
Yeah, there is. Well, geez, I'm interested in This is Paris. I guess, you know, because she always has played a role.
Yeah.
In her interviews, you know, she's a good guest. She goes along with whatever. I mean, she kind of is a pro that way.
Yeah. Well, you can watch a lot. They have it all on YouTube. I watch a lot of that, of her clips, because it's her and her sister Nikki talking about it. And it's when Paris wants to be open and insightful, she can be. And it's so enthralling.
But she talked specifically about a time she was on Letterman, and it was like right after she got out of jail, or not right after, but maybe a couple months. And she kept saying no, but then she said on her podcast, she said, I had a perfume and I thought I'll do it, but I'm going to just say, make that David not bring up my arrest as a condition, because they make those conditions. And she'd been on his show before. And because she'd been on his, he broke it with her. You know, they'd promised not to. He promised not to. Broke it. And she said, and then he wouldn't let up.
Yeah.
And she said, and I didn't know how to do it and how mad. And then later he called and he apologized, realized what an a-hole.
Mm-hmm. You know, we saw a clip of Lindsay Lohan on David Letterman that resurfaced from around the same time.
Oh.
And you could tell that Lindsay Lohan was clearly uncomfortable talking about rehab, talking mm-hmm. about her arrest. So it must have been a similar situation.
Yeah.
And Lindsay Lohan deflected like a pro.
Yeah. She really did. She was killing it in that interview.
Yeah. And, you know, she would have known how to do that because acting as a kid and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. A lot of times women, we will just sort of take it, won't we? As far as...
Well, I mean, absolutely.
As opposed to just calling out David Letterman and being like, David, you're being a jerk right now.
Yeah.
You said we weren't going to talk about it.
Maybe now that's what would have happened to him.
Right. You know, we were living in a different public relations culture 15 years ago. And Sarah Silverman is now apologizing for those jokes on her own podcast. She admitted she would never do those jokes today. Sarah Silverman's like, you know, I wouldn't do it. She said, I came up in a time when talk show hosts... And comedians.
Like roasted people that mm-hmm. were in the audience.
Right. Were, you know, hired to make fun of pop culture and roasting the biggest celebrities and pop culture icons at the time. And nobody was bigger than Paris Hilton. And she says, so here we are in an awkward world. I'm totally into it. It's how we grow. It's how we change. And she said she's super down with reflecting on the past and her part in perpetuating really ugly bleep.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's just like, yeah, let's talk about it. And so, you know, she's facing it head on, Sarah Silverman, and taking responsibility for her jokes. And so, you know, hopefully Paris hears that.
Yeah.
And by the way, recommend the Paris Hilton docuseries movie.
Well, not even a
series of movies. I think it's just called This Is Paris on YouTube.
I need to watch that. I meant to watch it and I never did. And I know I would love it.
It's so good. And it also shows a side of her, you know how we talked about... Pamela Anderson kind of being in love with being in love. I think Paris Hilton falls in that. It's not the idea of having a lot of boyfriends. She absolutely wants to find that person, and her trust issues are understandably so up the... It's watching that go down, I think, was, I shouldn't say my favorite part, but just so intriguing and showing a lot about her personality.
Yeah, you know, we had an understanding of Paris Hilton when she was coming into her own celebrity.
Yeah, the simple life.
Yeah.
We watched that. We had that view.
And... Yeah, well, it was just like, you know, I was watching The Hills last night on Pluto TV.
Of course, as one should on a Wednesday night.
Before I went to bed, but reflecting on how there was a dialogue in 2007 and 2008, right around the time of Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, all of these people. And the question was, is The Hills real or is it not?
That's right. And then we found out that it wasn't real and... Whoa.
Right.
People were upset.
Yeah, people were upset that Lauren Conrad and Heidi, now they did say in subsequent interviews that the drama in certain moments was definitely real, that the emotions were authentic. However, the whole scenario of The Hills was completely manufactured. How could Audrina Patridge live in a $2,000 a month apartment being a part-time receptionist for Epic Records? I mean, when you really think about it, it was staged.
It was orchestrated reality show, like an orchestrated boy band or girl band or whatever, something like that. It was completely put together.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, this is... I don't know, like Bling Empire, you know, like I feel like those people all did know each other that were in that show.
And
that felt more like a reality. But the fact that you're like, we're going to make it seem like all these guys know each other. I mean,
or hang out when it's like, they created situations.
I remember being upset. Julia never, ever watched one episode. I just was just like so appalled that she wouldn't watch it. And she's like, I have children. I don't have time, and I had to agree with her.
She had a point.
She had a point. You know, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'll watch this crap first.
I'll take care of it. I'll do my due diligence.
Poor Adam Levine. He's lamenting about the fact that there aren't any bands anymore. So Maroon 5, Adam Levine, the singer from Maroon 5, he has a new single out called Beautiful Mistakes. And he's saying, reminiscing about Maroon 5's origin, I feel like there aren't any bands anymore, you know?
Adam, no, that is just like a ridiculous thing to say, dude.
Yeah. There are a lot of bands. I would ask, where's your band Maroon 5? Because all you do is use a drum machine and a synth. So maybe he's just thinking about his own band.
That's a music burn with some real heat behind
yes.
it.
Yes.
That sounds like getting the no.
Shady
but
dirt.
No. Adam. Don't be dissing your own musicians, your club, the
yes.
group you belong to.
Yes, absolutely.
Probably the bands are never going to be more prolific than they are.
Absolutely.
You know, goofball. All right.
Convenient pickup options available for all your favorite My Talk shows. Grab them day or night at mytalk1071.com or on the My Talk app.
She has a theory.
Well, do you guys think that you can tell something about somebody based on their peanut butter preference? Do you have a theory that you can make assumptions about someone if they like crunchy versus creamy?
I have to admit that I find one aspect if you pick you're a superior person. Is that wrong?
No.
No pressure.
No pressure. No. And I won't clarify, but
I mean, there is the peanut butter theory.
I feel that way with pulp or no pulp as well. Like, there are people you're just superior if you pick one version
versus
over the other.
Versus the other.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this past Monday was National Peanut Butter Lovers Day.
Oh, good to know.
And there was a survey of peanut butter with 2,000 Americans. And I had this argument with my husband mm-hmm. about creamy versus crunchy.
Yeah.
And
I'm
then
so
we did a taste test between Jif and Skippy.
Yeah.
Blindfolded.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I'm a crunchy. Crunchy, I got to have
it. I'm so happy because I was so nervous you were going to say creamy.
Holly, are you crunchy or creamy?
Crunchy.
Oh, yeah, thank goodness. Okay. Because I idolize Lori. Like, and the fact that you would have said creamy, I would have just left because I don't know what I would do with myself.
Well, researchers have found out a few things about the difference between the crunchy and creamy peanut butter lovers among us.
Tell me, because my husband's creamy and I think less of him for it.
Well, okay, but maybe it's okay.
Okay.
People are, first of all, a third of those 2,000 people said they're passionate about their peanut butter preference as far as creamy or chunky. Okay. Passionate
is a pretty extreme pretty word
extreme.
For this.
And here's what people said. If you prefer crunchy peanut butter, odds are that you're an extrovert.
Mm-hmm. That's
that
true for us.
You are a night owl.
And that's also a lie.
And that you are a more optimistic person. You have a cheerier outlook on life.
I think that applies.
The crunchies. Here's the creamies. If you love creamy peanut butter, the odds are you're an early bird. 35% of the lovers are of creamy are early birds. And 33% are introverts. And creamy people are judged more than the crunchy peanut butter people.
Oh, good.
There's judgment among creamy butter lovers. Two out of three people admit when they are asked on the spot, do you like crunchy or creamy, which one really better? They say they feel pressure to pick crunchy to fit in.
I don't help.
And 50% of crunchy fans felt any kind of anything. They're very crunchy, hands down. I gotta have the crunch. So
Holly, do you feel
they both
obligated?
Love animals equally? That doesn't matter, regardless of what kind of a dogs or cats. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Everyone loves grape over strawberry.
Whoa!
For your PBJs.
Yeah,
I would do strawberry.
I would do strawberry too.
Yeah, I hate the grape, but grape goes better with creamy. Strawberry goes better with crunchy.
Interesting.
That's what I think.
I will do the grape.
I think that's why crunchy lovers never like grape, because grape doesn't go good with the crunch, but the strawberry somehow does.
I think the purple.
Theory making it up on the spot.
No, I think the purple grape, no thank you, but like if you buy like where people make it and it's that clear grape one, I'm down with that. Holly, do you feel obligated you should switch to creamy since you feel like you associate more with those feelings?
Well, no, just because I'm a curmudgeonly shut-in doesn't mean that I'm going to change my peanut butter preference.
That's right.
That just does not. Crunchy all the way.
Yes,
right. And creamy people are teased, like, more about it. They're giving crap about it.
As we should.
So, you know.
I have to admit, since my husband eats peanut butter every day, I have to accept that most of the time I just eat creamy out of laziness. Like, I'm not going to keep my own.
Right.
So I get it.
I eat both, but I do like Jif. Even though when I did the taste test, I preferred Skippy.
This is enthralling.
That was really disappointing because Casey was like, we had a money bet and we did the blindfolds. And
what did he pick too?
He picked the Jif.
So you guys both picked
the opposite of what we said.
Fight over.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, that is so good. That's so much more peanutty. And it was the Skippy, but I'd never buy the Skippy.
Oh, that's funny.
Why am I so stubborn?
I don't know, but you can't change now. You've committed.
Well, what about the peanut butter that you have to stir with oil on
top? No, that is not peanut butter. I draw the line at that crap. That is. No, no, no. Now that is.
Me and my husband fight all the time. He likes.
Does
Jif.
He like the natural peanut butter?
I like the natural peanut butter. And so he doesn't.
That's not even peanut butter.
Well, I mean,
okay. Not really.
Here's the thing, we add honey on the top of ours, so we don't need it to have sugar already in it.
Okay, but enjoy the sugar. Enjoy.
I want just sugar.
That's what makes it taste good.
I want the only ingredient to be peanut butter or peanuts.
Well, then why don't you get out there and stamp on your own peanuts?
I'm gonna, Lori.
And just make your own dust and then get some olive.
Here's what I'm gonna recommend you do, Lori, though.
All right. Okay.
This may change your life.
Okay.
Interesting.
Go to the co-op and find the peanut butter machine. Where you push the button and it just takes whole peanuts and it grinds them up on the spot. And
you get
the all natural peanut butter, no oil on the top. You can also do it with almonds too.
How do you spread it?
Depending on where you go.
Oh, it gets all
buttery.
It does.
And it has a light crunch.
Okay.
It's so good.
That does sound really good.
I know. And I'd like to watch that. I'd like to watch that. I also really like.
I'm afraid to ask why.
I don't know why. I don't have a lot going on.
It looks like poop swirl.
I don't know.
Peanut butter swirl. What's going on?
I can't explain my needs and wants.
Does it swirl out like a DQ ice cream cone? Like that kind of a swirl?
It has more of a plop quality to it.
Oh, I'll take a plop.
Oh, God.
I'll take a plop.
All right. Well.
I'll tell you what. You know what I really like, too? I switch it back and forth. Like, they have this thing called Nutso, which is like 10 different nuts that they grind all together. And that's really good, too.
Is it a natural, one of the natural ones?
I got to
get
annoying.
On the natural bandwagon,
ladies.
No,
I don't know. You're making, I don't know. Don't switch up now. It's not you're gonna.
But I am intrigued at Holly's, like the next time I was be at, would they have it at Whole Foods? Or would I have to go to the co-op, like
Seward
Co-op or something like that?
Definitely a co-op. Can't speak to Whole Foods.
Yeah,
don't know.
Oh, Holly. So I suppose Trader Joe's doesn't have it.
No. Plopping at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I know it.
They've got cookie butter, though,
which they do.
Pretty good.
Okay, here's another theory. I have always had this theory. I have always said, no matter where you live or how small it might be or big it might be, that everybody has a cleaning black hole area in their living space that they just don't see anymore. They don't know how to deal with it. Do you think that we all have a room that's always a mess?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And also, it's wild, too, because your significant other has a different one than you do. And that's very inconvenient. It is very inconvenient when they point it out and you go, well, I don't know the last time I vacuumed that rug.
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea.
We are all together, America, because this was a survey and it found 8 out of 10 Americans admit to having at least one cleaning black hole, an area that is never clean, never organized, and very ignored. And they just call it a cleaning black hole. Common areas are maybe a closet, part of a garage, a basement, a man cave, a gal cave, anywhere where one of your kids.
What do you has think your What do you think your black hole is?
I have a black hole room, and it is Casey's son's, his boyhood bedroom, or you know, the bedroom that he was in from seventh grade on. And it is,
it's just
got books and sandals and ski clothes and nightgowns and important papers and junk and shoes and projects that I've meant to get to.
Absolutely.
I love having a black hole room.
It's lovely.
But I keep the door
shut
to that room closed.
Absolutely you do.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
I feel lucky to have an entire room.
Yeah, I have a closet. I'm not on your level yet. Someday I'll get a room. I have a closet in my office that the only thing it exists for is like...
I don't know if Holly has this now because she moved, so you might not. You might have gotten rid of the black hole you had at your other place, but maybe a new one has arrived.
Oh, yes.
Even emerged, in the form of a junk drawer.
Out of the darkness emerged the built-in shelf.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, built-in, for sure. Yeah,
where the mail... And the, like, receipts and the things, it all ends up there.
Yeah.
You need it. You need it. Honestly, you need it in your
life. Well, it's just something that we have. We have a common struggle when it comes to reappearing messes. It's just, it's habit. There's also something called the laundry chair. There's the paper pile. There's a junk bowl. Of course, the old junk drawer.
You need the drawer. I'm sorry.
82% of us have a cabinet that's just designated for our storage containers, like for
absolutely
dishes, or I mean for dish leftovers.
Like, yeah, like Pyrex and things like that.
But it is the 57 plus crowd that has an 82% of saying yes to having a bag.
A bag.
I have a bag closet. It's really bad.
Is it? Okay.
A bag.
A bag where they have a bag that they put all their other bags in.
Are we talking purses or plastic bags?
Plastic.
Yeah. Bags. You need a bag. What am I, an animal? I need a bag.
But that's when I have a bag closet for those bags. Not for my purses. I got a tub for the purses. I got a whole closet for those stupid paper bags.
All right. So it's not just the older. No. People do keep their damn bags.
And I have to shut it fast enough so that the bags don't come pouring out like in a Marx Brothers movie.
Oh, man.
That is bleak.
All right. Well, there's our theories for the day. We'll be back with the rest of the stories. There we go. God, that song gets referenced in more television shows and stuff.
I know. It'll always hold a special place in my heart. My stepsister was obsessed with Hanson and had... It looked like a serial killer's room because she had
so many posters,
so many cut out, like jaggedly cut out pictures. It was like the man wall, but yet like psychotic and like spread out a little bit more. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, it was terrifying to walk in her room.
Did she ever go see them then when they were grown ups?
No.
Like, people were upset. I mean, I know people. Well, I feel like I saw them.
Because she was so young when she liked them. And then by the time I think she got old, I think she's traumatized because we probably made fun of her quite a bit. But man, she had a bird too. And it was like, that's the scariest room ever to go into. Oh, don't go into Lauren's room.
Zodiac killer or tween?
That's right.
A little of both.
That's
a
right.
A little of both.
Is anyone watching the Allen versus Pharaoh HBO documentary? Holly, you are?
I am watching
it. Yeah. And there have been two episodes. I'm going to catch up so I can be, I can't say I'll watch it on Sunday night. I will be Oprah and Meghan Markle. But I'm wondering what, if you think, is it good? I know it's people go, oh, I know that story. But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, there are parts of the story that I don't think any of us were privy to because Allen versus Pharaoh has a lot of personal video footage and anecdotes from
their
family. With their own words. And it really goes into graphic detail. So if you don't want to know those things or have those things in your life,
then don't
watch it.
Okay.
But if you are interested in this story, and you have been, it's definitely worth watching. Now, understanding that this is the story of Dylan Pharaoh and Mia Pharaoh.
Okay.
Because I have heard some of the criticism of it is like, well, it doesn't really give Woody a fair shot. But that's not the point, of what the filmmakers are trying to say.
Is it Woody Allen's own words, too?
Well, yeah. You know, they have video recordings of Woody Allen and telephone calls. Oh. They have excerpts from his memoir that just came out last year.
Okay, that's the part part that I think that they think that they can sue these documentary filmmakers on, that they excerpted his audiobook without his permission.
It would be interesting to see legally where that happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because
you would have thought that would have already been out, that they would have stopped it before it ever got to HBO.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or that, you know, the legal rights are with the publisher or something like that. So I don't really know.
So it's Woody in his own voice in his book where he writes about all this stuff. And I bet they told him not to write about it. His lawyers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they just always take great advice. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it frames and contextualizes Woody Allen, where he was and how he has been in popular culture. And it does a really good job. You know, one of the things in episode two of Allen versus Pharaoh that I think they do really well is that they revisit the movie Manhattan, which is one of his most celebrated movies. And they put it into context in a way that perhaps shows that Woody Allen has always been fascinated by the dynamic of really young women and older men. Mm. And so putting that in
because Marriott was Hemingway, was she like 16?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
he was
really
like
young.
40.
Yeah, he was in his 40s. So, you know, from that cultural point of view, I don't think I'd recommend it if you're not really interested in it.
Okay.
But it's worthwhile to hear Dylan's story.
All right.
Now you do. Yeah, I think it is interesting. It's one of those ones where
you
just
think
like
maybe
the,
you know the story because it's there.
Yeah,
it's been in. We've known about it.
Yeah.
I remember how shocking it was when
it happened.
When it happened that he's going off with his bonus daughter. I mean, I know he wasn't the adoptive father of Suni. That was Andre Previn.
Yeah.
But it was like
a lot. And
it was a lot because I remember thinking, oh my God, that would be like me. You put it in your own context your family.
I have a step. Yeah.
Thought, okay, these two always were weirdos. Mia and Woody, they lived across the street from each other in like fancy brownstones, and he lived in one, and she lived in, I mean, it was like so bizarre.
It's just like the Michael Jackson one where it is going to take me to just formally, I'm never going to be in the mood to watch it. That's the thing. Because it's so, you know, it's so much, we're like, icky, I don't love it.
I kind of want to watch it only because I followed the story for so long.
Well, yeah.
I feel like it would be like not watching something on Natalie Woods or something.
And I think I just have to formally say I'm going to watch this at this stage, because that's what I had to do about the Michael Jackson one, because I'd always sit down and say, oh, but this is going to hurt my heart. But it's like, you know what? You
Leaving
just
Neverland.
And I'm so glad I watched it. Me too. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I watched it. I just have to like force myself to sometimes look at the stuff I don't always want to look at.
Yeah, well, that's why that show's only on once a week.
Yeah, four episodes. So there's two more episodes of Allen versus Pharaoh. That's on Sunday night. But again, what are we watching on Sunday night?
We are watching CBS.
Yes,
we
have to
Oprah
be.
And Harry. Speaking of CBS, boy, they're glad that they have this other story, because it came out that CBS had to pay millions of dollars in a legal settlement with an actress that Les Moonves had, said, give me sexual favors and I'll get you any TV show you want.
Yeah.
Basically harassed her. Anyway, CBS like leaked her name.
Oh, great.
So they were in violation of the non-disclosure, and this actress has gotten a lot of money, but he was really, my gosh, he was unbelievable, Les Moonves.
The things
that he did and stuff. And he stepped down in 2018 after Ronan Farrow published this explosive article with named sources of all the heinous ways that Les Moonves bullied and sexually harassed people into like giving him, doing sexual favors for him.
And I think
that's how, that's the price of doing business. It was just like no big deal. So,
and you know what? I think like we talked about this when this came out, is like we're going to be hearing about these things about women.
But Les Moonves' story has been kept very quiet after that initial thing.
I just mean like, and there's a lot of women he impacted. I'm sure we're going to hear more and more.
I think he was signing non-disclosures and paying money as fast as it was happening.
I mean,
that's the real deal. Yeah. Anyway, poor Julie Chen. Listen to me. All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.